Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. You're with Dr. Harris, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're rocking and rolling, rolling and rocking. We're happy to be broadcasting today. It is Wednesday, the 29th, April the 29th. Run a little bit behind schedule today, but we're still here. We're still here. We have a very, very exciting show for you this evening. I'm going to be interviewing one of the men. I'm going to use the word men, M-E-N, not boy, but men, not just a man, but a revolutionary brother that's going to be talking just in a little bit. It's been a long day. It's starting to warm up a little bit. A lot of you know I've turned my front yard into a community garden. We started this new project today. In regards to, I forgot the name of my project, Grow Your Own Food. Grow Your Own Food. That's what we're doing here with our new program here. You know, because of this virus stuff, we don't want to get the kids out in the elements. And so, hey, grow your own food at home, you know. And it's going pretty good. You know, it's going pretty good. A lot of people are catching on to the vision that we're talking about and really trying to promote eating healthy. We know throughout the years we do not eat healthy. I'm not saying that I eat everything healthy. I don't. But for the most part, you know, I'm conscious of what we should be eating and what we should not be eating. So anyway, just want to give couple of shout outs here before we go into the show. Number one, I'd like to give a shout out to Tuesday night show with Maria and Aline, who did a wonderful, wonderful job in the topic of Superwoman. Man, it was a good show. I mean, it was one of the first shows that I, you know, all the heavy lifting that I do, you know, to sit back, you know, and just listen. You know, I talk a lot. So, you know, I think sometimes as leaders, we need to just stop and listen. You know, one of the things that I'm doing right now that a lot of leaders don't do, or these past leaders did not do, is really giving a platform to other people, giving them a platform to speak. Giving a platform to talk, really trying to understand, you know, what, you know, my purpose is right now in life. Over 37 years, you know, on the front lines here in Fresno, across the country, dealing with civil rights, human rights, dealing with immigration issues, you know, issues of Fresno Unified, police. I mean, it's just so much things that, you know, I've dealt with, but I didn't deal with it by myself. Again, that's what one of the brothers that's getting ready to come on is going to be talking about, an action that's going to be happening this Friday. Matter of fact, this Friday, which will be May 1st here in Fresno, it's going to be happening. This action is going to be taking place down at the Fresno County Jail, which is 1200 M Street, Fresno, California, 93722. This is nothing new for us. This brother here, as we have partnered, we have been there for one another, and it's just a healthy relationship. One of the things that I'm looking at right now, and maybe you have thought about it, or maybe you come across your mind, but what is a healthy relationship? That's something that I'm really looking at right now. You know, what is a toxic relationship? What is a fair relationship? And I think I'm going to be having some shows on that. That's really been in my spirit after the show Tuesday night. I know next Tuesday the show is going to be called Superman or Black Superman or something. Or Black Superwoman, Black Superman. Okay, so that's what you're going to be talking about next week, and really trying to figure out, you know, the dynamics that we're dealing with as a people, because we're broken right now. I would say that we're broken goods. We're still good, but we're broken. And, you know, just because something is broke doesn't mean it doesn't have any value. But I think that right now, process, you know, after running for mayor of Fresno, I really learned, you know, at that level, a lot of the politics and how, you know, people are and how things played out during that process. I think it really put a different taste in my mouth, not just with politics, but just everyday people. You know, I'll be 50 August 24th. Lord's willing, and I'm trying to see what is the next part of the journey of my life. And I'm thinking right now is to really teach and train and to create platforms for people to have a voice. But anyway, want to give shout outs to everybody. Let's see, Uncle Bobby down in the Bay Area. Man, shout out to Brown Perez here in Fresno. All of you on the live stream right now, I just want to give you thumbs up right now. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. Me and Dr. Kennedy, you know, we had a show a couple of years ago called The Number One Doctors, and I believe we aired there for about 2 years and kind of stopped it and I started this show. But let's go ahead and go into the show. You know, most people, when you bring a guest on the show, they would ask, can you send me a resume or a bio or something? And I didn't do that tonight because I felt that, and usually I do that, because I want to give people their correct props. I didn't do that with our guest tonight because I wanted to go freestyle. Because I think that what this brother has done for the African-American community, being transparent, any issue that goes on in West Fresno that's injustice or whatever, he has always been by my side. And I can't say that for a lot of people. I mean, maybe on one hand, and you all know I've been doing this for many, many years. And, I mean, you know, when it's time to march, this brother was with me in River Park. You know, when we shut down River Park for Black and Brown Lives Matter, he was right there by my side. You know, anytime he calls on me, you know, even like this, you know, he told me he was getting pushed back. And I told him, brother, I'm by you. You know, hey, if you want to do it, I'm with you. When it comes to dealing with police brutality, he's there with the families on one side. I'm on the other side of the families. And so I think that there's a mutual respect that this brother has given Fresno. He has traveled to Cuba. He has traveled across the world. He's my hero. I want to put it like that. Let me just put it in that perspective right there. He's my hero because, you know, when you can call up on someone when you're in a crisis, you're emotional, you're this, you're that, it takes that leader to really stop and really deal with your emotions, but then figure out how we're going to mobilize the community to go into direct action. So, you know, he has mastered all of that. You know, he has built coalitions. He has brought families together. You know, this brother here that we bringing on the show walked up in City Hall in the mayor's office and just shut the whole city hall down and said, listen, we're not going anywhere until the mayor come up out that door to talk to this family here about what's going on. I mean, that's the type of fiber. That's the type of guts. That's the type of men and leadership that Fresno, I wish we would have more. And we don't. You know, I mean, I could count them on two hands, you know, men and women. But the fact of the matter is that this brother has organized an action this Friday. And I just want to thank him publicly, you know, on our radio show and all of our, you know, radio hosts, our community. For what he has done for the Black community here in Fresno, we don't even have enough money to pay him. And if we had money to pay him, I know he wouldn't take it. But I just want to say that I love this brother. It's been a while since we've been out on the street together. We don't know what's going to happen because we have this, you know, You know, Fresno don't really like when we do direct actions. We have this 6 feet, whatever is going on with this coronavirus stuff. But whatever it is, I know that he done mapped out how he wants to do this. So when I show up, I'm just asking him, where's my post? Where I'm supposed to be? And all he got to do is point. And so we're going to go ahead and bring him on the show. When Dyer arrested me illegally and when I went to court, I believe I posted the picture of when we went to court. I was in my red, black, gold garment with the Dr. Stripes on the side. And again, he was standing right there by my side. So when you can get someone to stand there by your side when you're going through a crisis, that's the type of fiber of people that we need in the movement right now. You know, that was Malcolm X. That was Dr. King. That was Megan Edwards, Shirley Chisholm, Fannie Lou Hamer. You know, those are the type of fiber of people that we come from today. And I'm just going to bring this brother on, and we have some callers online. Please stay on the line, 3205. Let me bring them on real quick. All right. This is Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. Welcome to our show, my brother. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Dr. Harris, and wow. Thanks for the introduction, man. And you're right, I would never take any of that money. Oh, my gosh, that was a lot.
Man, listen, we go way back, man. And, you know, I if there's anybody that, and I'm going to say this to our listening audience, and I just don't say this for anybody or to anybody. But if there's anybody that I will put my life hands, you know, my life, it will be you. Because I know that you will make every decision. You will mobilize the people for whatever issue that came. And like I said, I'll put my life in your hands, you. And vice versa, I know you do the same because we always been there for one another. And we can't say that
for a lot of
organizers, but, you know, just the mutual respect that we have, you know, we've always been there for each other, not just in conversation, but in physical appearance.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and to be honest with you, I don't know if your audience knows this, but I've been trying to get Dr. Floyd Harris to go to Cuba. Because if there is one place on the Western Hemisphere where they know medicine and they know education, and it's a black country, it's Cuba. That's a lie. Cuba is not a white country. It's a black country, and it's beautiful, and the culture is beautiful. So I'm going to get you there someday. I'm going to get you there. I think you need to go to Cuba and visit people there.
Now, watch yourself, Brother Ralph. You get me over there, I may not want to come back.
You might be better off with all the medicine
that
we got there.
Yeah, but man, thank you. It's been a while since you've been on our show, man. And we know a lot of things has happened over the years and movements that we have done and streets that we've blocked off and going to court, you know, court patrol and just shutting down the city hall, the mayor office. And I'll never forget when you went in the mayor office, you just, hey, we're not going anywhere until we get some answers. And so that, I mean, it takes a lot of guts, man. You really have to be sold out for the movement to walk up in City Hall and everybody's ready to go home. It's 5:00. You know, I don't care.
Yeah.
We ain't going nowhere. So you can do what you want to do. And so, I mean, you had about 50 to 100 people with you. And that's the type of leadership that we need in the 21st century. And that's what I'm trying to push to the next generation. You know, as I said earlier, I wish our former generation would have did a lot of organizing and passing the baton, but it is what it is. This is where we're at. And man, we're just happy that you are on our show tonight and kind of talk about what's going to be happening this Friday, you know, from 12 to 1. And like I said, we know that we have the social distance stuff going on. But you know what? We still have a movement to take care of, you know?
Yeah.
can't let the virus conversation just stop us, stop the momentum, stop justice. You know, there's people unemployed, there's businesses, there's small businesses that closed down. I read today there's over, man, I don't know how many million people filed for unemployment. I mean, the food industry, food is getting short, contamination of people getting sick, working in the meat industry. I mean, it's just crazy right now. People in prison, virus, and it's like, you know, what are we doing here? Then we have a president telling people to drink Pyrex and life. I mean, it's so, I don't know. Maybe I'm dreaming. I'm going to let you have the floor. Take the floor, man. Take us on a journey, whichever way you want us to go.
I thank you for inviting me, because what's going to happen on Friday, May 1st, is something really important, especially to our communities, the Black and the Brown community specifically. I'm going to talk about why that is. And that's why I'm proud to have a friend like you that will be there and speak up for justice. And you're right, during these times, it is so wild, so crazy, that we're basically, this is a soft type of martial law that they got going on. And us activists and organizers and those who care about social justice, we got to get a little bit creative on how we go about doing stuff, right? So one of the things that is happening is that May 1st, people have heard of May Day. They've heard of May 1st. And some people have never heard about this, but back in the 1800s, and this is during the union movement in the 1800s in Chicago and around America and the world in general, but workers started rebelling against, you know, the factory owners and those that were exploiting them and sicking cops on and dogs on them when they would protest for an 8-hour day, better pay, safer working conditions. And these were workers who started protesting to get those basic, rights that a worker deserves, any worker deserves. And this is like 1880s and even before that. What happened was in Chicago, Illinois, you had workers that walked out. It was like thousands, like 40,000. And it wasn't the first time workers have walked off, you know, the line. They refused to work. They went on strike. But they also remembered this day. It was a success for them because it was a movement that went on for a couple of decades afterwards. But they got the 8-hour work day. They got better pay. They got benefits. And that was a good thing. So it became known as May Day, International Workers' Day. It's a day when we recognize workers around the world. It's a basic concept, but it's a beautiful concept. Unfortunately, we don't practice like we should. And so throughout the years, this day has become popular and symbolized throughout the world as a popular day. And in the migrant communities, those of us who were born in Mexico, I was born in Mexico. I came to this country as an immigrant, quote unquote undocumented or whatever they want to call me. But I came to this country, worked in the fields here in the Central Valley, picking grapes in the hot sun, so I know how hard it is to be out there. And unfortunately, during this time, these last decades, unions have taken a hit big time, and unions have actually, union popularity has gone downhill. And these rich business owners, like you mentioned, the meat packers and these rich farmers out here that get millions of dollars from Congress every year, get bailed out, and these rich bankers that have food, restaurants and gyms, and they own these businesses. A lot of these rich owners don't want unions because I'm a high school teacher. And when we start protesting for basic rights like pay and safer working conditions, even our bosses have a problem with that because that means they got to, you know, pull a little bit more out of their pocket. And when you look at Bezos from Amazon, one of the world's richest men, you know, or Zuckerberg, when people talk about protesting or strikes, they get fired. And so as a history teacher, I recognize that International Workers' Day or May Day, which is May 1st every year, is a critical day for us to speak up and speak up in honor of workers. And we've done this in Fresno. And it happens all over the world where people march and they have parades and they honor the workers. Well, this year with the coronavirus or this COVID-19 crisis, we saw everything shut down. And I noticed this a couple of weeks ago. As soon as it started, a lot of activists got silent, and they told us to stay inside. They told us you can't do this and these stuff. And I said, okay, I understand. We need to be safe. But look at what's happening, because look at what happened in New York City. This coronavirus is an ugly thing. Many people died. And here in California, we were watching it go down in places like New Orleans and New York. And what happened? This coronavirus, as horrible as it is, has revealed something about America and the system in America, and the how it treats its workers in America. And it's revealed how the frontline workers, from nurses to doctors, but especially nurses, medical, everybody who comes to your aid, whether it be the bus driver, the person dumping your trash, the person serving your food, the person delivering your food, the one picking the food in the field, the person that is out there working in the meat plant, all these people are frontline workers. But all these people are also people of color, especially black people and black women of color. We saw that in New York. All of a sudden, this ugly face of America and the way it treats its workers was revealed, because people had to go to work and save lives. And many of these women, black and brown, were picking crops or saving lives as nurses. They themselves were dying. A bus driver in Detroit warned people, and he died, and he was black. And Michigan is one of the worst places because their population of black residents versus the infected and death rate is disproportionate, meaning it's way off. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't look that way, but it does, because the frontline workers, many of us, and people who are considered essential workers, many of us are poor, are black, and brown. And we're out there feeding this country, saving this country. And I felt that, especially because Governor Newsom and the federal government, they aren't helping out the farm workers. Matter of fact, I'll clarify something about Governor Newsom. He gave $75 million to help undocumented workers. But that's not enough. That's a drop in the bucket for the $85 billion industry that we have in California, just on agriculture alone. Donald Trump, the stimulus packages that they passed for many black and brown folks, we're the last ones to own a home. We have to rent. We're the last ones to have a bank account so we can get evicted. So there's so much that we are not given in terms of equity during this time, and it's revealed itself during this crisis. And this is why I felt if there is ever a time to do something in honor of workers and call out the injustice during this time, with all due respect and fairness, just like you and I have done for years, then May 1st is that time to do it. It's the day to stand up for workers, stand up for people of color, stand up for people in jail, because if you look at those jails, they're filled with mostly, and again, a disproportionate number, black prisoners or black inmates or black and brown people who are sitting there, and jail, there's no social distancing in jail. There's no social, you can't social distance in jails and prisons. And even the prisoners and teenagers in juvenile halls across the country are rebelling, and they're just calling out. They're saying, we're sitting here, we're sitting ducks, we're going to die. And that's part of the injustice that is also revealed with the criminal justice system, where America has only 4% of the world's population, yet jails 25% of the world population. Think about that. That's how wild this criminal justice system and how whack it is when it comes to dealing with minorities. So May 1st, what I started planning a couple weeks ago was to invite the community out to a demonstration, a virtual demonstration in Caravan. Part of the rules that Dr. Floyd Harris, you mentioned, are very strict rules where you can't gather with groups and you have to be 6 feet apart. Well, that's the national suggestion. In Fresno, California, it's even stricter. The law says you cannot gather in groups of any size. If it is not for essential work, like you're a doctor or a police officer or you're delivering something, you cannot gather. So basically, if two people gather on the street to talk about, you know, how horrible Donald Trump is doing or how horrible this jail is treating its inmates, we're breaking the law. So how do we address this issue when it's a moral, it's a health and safety issue to begin with, because a lot of those inmates in that jail, they're rotting with coronavirus all over the place, I bet you, and we probably haven't heard about it. But how do we address this issue and do it legally? And this is where I say we have to be creative. And one of the tactics people have been using for the last couple of weeks are caravans, people getting into their cars with signs that they're flying out their windows, or posted, taped on their doors, and basically doing a car caravan like a protest for an hour, not hours, but for an hour or whatever time it takes to get the point across. And that way they are not arrested because they're not getting out of their cars. And the only ones on this day who will be on the ground will be people such as myself who will be talking to the media, because the media is considered essential, and possibly two other people, including yourself. And the reason why I'm glad you've accepted the invitation is because many people have not. And they, matter of fact, the response I got was, well, you know, I'm staying home and we got to do this. And I hate to say it, but a lot of us have been frightened into silence, frightened into submission, frightened into a standstill. And that shouldn't be the case for activists, for organizers, for those who believe in peace and justice. And we're standing up for what's called, it's a moral stance against the treatment of workers during this time. It's a moral stance against the inhumane treatment of jail of prisoners and inmates in those jails. So we're standing up from a moral standpoint, and we're going to address this issue. And guess what the only defense is to the Fresno ordinance that they have, where we can't gather more than any groups of any size if it's not essential? A moral defense. And what we will be doing that day is essential. We're recognizing workers. We're calling for the improving the conditions. We're calling for the canceling of rent. We're calling for the releasing of prisoners, all of them in jail. We're calling for for several things that we've been calling for years. But now, you know, look at this. And think about this, Dr. Floyd Harris. Think about this. How many times did we not get in trouble when the Brown Berets showed up wearing masks and everybody freaked out? Now you've got everybody being told, wear a mask. Are you going to get fined? You're going to get arrested? Man, I saw all these angry white people with guns on the state capitol. And I'm thinking, that's white privilege. We show up like that, we're going to get arrested, or worse, we're going to get shot. And now everybody is cool to wear a mask. Yeah, I remember we're wearing masks just not to get arrested, or just not to get, our identity revealed, because some of our activists are afraid of getting fired by their bosses, right?
Right.
And so it's the time. It's time for us activists, for us organizers, during this crisis, to make sure we take a stand. We can't sit back and let them frighten us into this state of shock, to where we're just sitting still doing nothing. If anything, that's why I called it a soft martial law. It hasn't been declared, but boy, the people in Washington, they're loving it. They're loving it because we're not out there. And some people, some of our own organizers, I hope they wake up and realize that this can't go on forever. We, like you said, we got the fight doesn't end. It doesn't end just because, they told you got to stay home. We got to get creative here. And I got to reveal, I think I already did, I'm a high school teacher. And people like myself, we get to work from home today, right? That's a privileged position. And I'm telling people who are professionals, quote unquote, got degrees or not, or they have the means to work from home. If anybody should stand up more than anybody, it's them. If you believe in social justice, because it's the farm workers that are going to get fired if they don't show up to work. It's the man at the meatpacking company or the meatpacking plant that's going to get fired if they don't show up to work. Or the person at McDonald's or whatever restaurant that's serving you, if that young kid doesn't show up to work, they're going to get fired. So for those of us who have the means and availability and the capability to work from home, wow, if anything, we should be the ones standing up. Because if not, we're in a privileged class where, you know, if anything, we're letting down our people. That's called political negligence, revolutionary negligence. It's called activist negligence, because you could do this, but you're not.
You know, here we have, for those that want to call in to 516-387-1474, 516-387-1474. Go ahead, Brother Ralph, you were talking.
Yeah, no, that's what's happening on Friday. We're inviting people across the country, and this is not just in Fresno. The call originated from Fresno. But brothers in Houston, Texas, are going to be doing something that day. They got less strict laws than us, so that's good, because they get to do a little bit more than us. Brothers in El Paso, Texas, are also going to do something where 22 people were shot at that Walmart. They're doing something on behalf of the workers, not at the necessarily at Walmart, but at the Walmart, but for those people that are shot, because that guy came looking for brown people, and he shot brown people, right? We have people in the Bay Area. They're going to be doing protests at the jails, also saying let them go, including the children in detention centers for ICE. We got people in Phoenix, Arizona, who are going to be feeding the homeless and standing up on May 1st. And we have people in Colorado and all these states, and Oregon, I should forget, can't leave out Oregon and Chicago, but we have people that are standing up, taking a stand that day. So this started in Fresno, and I don't know if you remember, I got a hold of you a couple of weeks ago. I go, if there's any brother, there's anybody I can call who's going to be down with me, it's going to be, you know, Floyd Harris, Dr. Floyd Harris. And now it's blossomed to where everybody's going to be doing something, or a lot of people across the states. And I appreciate that, because they look to us in California sometimes for guidance, but I look at their spirit. Some of these people who are standing up, like in Phoenix, feeding the homeless on May 1st, or in Houston, you know, standing up for workers on that day. That I you know, I admire that spirit, because they don't have to do anything for us to with us, but they are. And I think with the internet, I believe in self-defense. I'm a great admirer of Malcolm X and everything that he taught about self-defense. He was right on when he talked about taking care of the community. But I believe too, though, now that we have weapons at our disposal that others didn't have back in the day, like cell phones, like cameras, like, you know, this Instagram or any kind of social media we can use to expose. Because, you know, you've been involved with the fight where we've been going up against the police when they shoot somebody, a black man is shot while running. Remember we protested and you shot in the back on the west side?
Right.
And they try to deny it happened. I mean, it was, and we protest so many of those things, but when we have now electronics, that those are weapons too, and those are tools. And like your radio program or a podcast that people are putting out, we need to use those to educate and inform the younger generation and keep them up with what's happening, because activism can be on the streets, and activism is now obviously it's on the internet. It's been on that way for a while, and if we master these tools called electronic devices, I think we can get pretty good at bringing some justice. Just like when we filmed the police officers, every time they laughed at us when we were filming them, and now they don't laugh anymore. Now, not in Fresno, they don't. They still laugh at us when we used to follow them with cameras. Now they don't laugh because they know, and they know me and you. But they definitely know you, and I know that when they hear those names, they're like, oh God, you got to deal with them. Yes, you got to deal with us. And guess what? There's a lot of young ones who just learned a lot from us. Like your Freedom School, man. I love what you're doing with your Freedom School. That's another thing. And I love what you're doing with the garden. I mean, that's why it's about the people. And May 1st. Is about the working people, especially who got to be frontline workers and got to put their lives on the line, just so that all these people who aren't thinking about, they want their haircut, they want their massage, they want to go to the gym, they want to go, you know, they want all these luxuries that some of these people will never afford, can never afford. And the vast majority of the people on the front line that are serving them, that are picking these crops, or that are rubbing their backs during the massage, they're people of color, black, brown, Asian. But the vast majority of the people who are calling to open up the economy, to go back to work, the vast majority are white men, basically. A lot of them, privileged white men, that don't have to show up to work. They could send orders through Zoom or the phone. They don't even got to show up to work. That's another example of white privilege right there. So that's May 1st. We're asking people to get creative across the country. Check with your jurisdiction, like Los Angeles, the area, they require you wear a mask. But they don't require, they don't say that you can't be in groups of more you can be within groups that of no more than 10. But in Fresno, you can't be in groups of any size. So in some places, it's stricter, the law is. In some places, it's not. Practice social distancing. And we'll get the message across in a creative way. We got to get creative, especially with this. Nobody saw this, at least. Let me rephrase that. The government of the United States saw this coming a long time ago, and I am putting it out there because it's been out there. The intelligence agencies reported to Donald Trump months in 2019. He knew about this. He knew about this as early, and the scenario was in September 2019. Please look it up. The CIA and all these different spy agencies, they report to him every year around that time. He knew about it in November. He knew about it in December. There's documents that are out there. And we're going to find out that they always knew about it. But did the people know about it? And that is wicked. How can your president, so-called president, leader of the free country, leader of the most powerful country, sit there and watch people die? No, sit there silent and call it a hoax. talking about it's going to go away. The whole time he knew this was happening and he didn't do anything or speak up, that is sick. And that's another reason to take a stand on May 1st, because a lot of people want to voice their support for workers, but they also want to voice their anger. And that's good. That's good. We need to voice our anger. That's, you're talking about healthy, right? Healthy relationships.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, we just got to scream. We just got to yell, you know, or we just got to, you know, take it out on the punching bag. But we got to let it out. And if protesting on May 1st against this wicked act by Donald Trump to not do anything while people died is going to make you feel good, I say good. You know, psychologically, that's good. Or it's good for the mind. It's good for the soul. We got to let it out, because if we let it bottle up, it will not be healthy. Just like you mentioned, healthy relationships, whether it be with your friends or whether it be your spouse or whoever you know that relationship was with, the dynamics are similar, where you have to, you know, let things out once in a while and talk it out. You know, sometimes you got, but it's got to be healthy, obviously. But we got to do it on May 1st in the form of a protest. So we're doing a caravan here in Fresno, California.
We'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show, a virtual demonstration caravan in support of all workers from Fresno to Houston to Phoenix to Oregon to Colorado, El Paso, Sonoma County, Sacramento, San Bernardino County, and the Bay Area. We invite everyone to a virtual demonstration in support of all workers at this time. The goal is to stand in solidarity with essential workers, especially the undocumented, at a time when they are expected to show up to work, feed, care for, and provide the basic needs to Americans while placing their own lives in danger. Black and brown workers have been killed at an alarming rate by the coronavirus. This racial inequality will be a key focus of our May 1st event. This is the question about the healthy and safety of some of the most vulnerable workers. Least paid, least likely to have insurance, least likely to have a savings account, least likely to own a home or pay rent, least appreciated, yet the most hunted by ICE. So, I don't know if you know about this, something that took place the other day, Brother Ralph. It was brought to my attention because we have people here in Fresno, in the African-American community, which I think is really good because, you know, all of us play a role. You know, you may not play the role of like what me and I would say my partner in crime, guess the night do, but you may not be out there blocking streets, you know, going up against the cops, you know, going up to City Hall, shutting down City Hall. You know, you may not do that. But one of our well-respected sisters in the movement came across a document that said that Mayor Lee Brand had created this cannabis committee. Don't hold me to that title, but something of a cannabis committee. And he started putting people on this committee, right? And we understand that Mayor Lee Brand is a white man, right? Really has done a disservice to black and brown people here in Fresno. And so that evening, you know, my people called me. They said, hey, I said, check this out. Check this out. Check it out. They said, well, Lee Brand created this committee, and there's no black people on it. I said, come on. No, I said, you're pulling my freaking leg. I said, don't tell me that. I mean, someone told me that Lee Brand has a granddaughter or somebody's black kid and his nephew or something. I don't know. That's related to him. I said, no, he wouldn't do nothing like that. And it was true. He created this committee and did not put no black people on it. And I was like, wait a minute. So I got off work. I looked into it, and I'll be a monkey's uncle. This mayor created this committee and did not put not one black person on it. So I had an emergency radio show that night to blast it, to talk about it. Like, how dare you? How dare you, you know, represent the most, don't even represent the most marginalized people, black and brown people in this community. I have a friend of mine, her daughter, she's a respiratorist from Fresno. She drove all the way to Ohio, right, to help out in Ohio in a hospital with respiratory, you know, folks that's sick. So she sacrificed her babies to leave them here with their grandmother to drive across the country to help. And then we have a mayor here in Fresno don't even have the respect to put black folks on a committee that can represent us. And you know, and it's just interesting, Brother Rob, how, you know, we allow those privileged white men to pick our leaders who they feel should be on the committee. No, we pick who the leaders are. You don't pick who the leaders are for us. You know, and then when you look at committees that these hierarchy, big title councilmen, supervisors, there's never no grassroots people on the committee like me, like you, like Gloria, like you know, just a circle of people that really, you know, our fingers on the pulse of the community. See, they don't choose us. They don't even call us. They don't even ask us, hey, you know, would you mind being on our community from a grassroots perspective? They don't do that, you know, because they know that we won't read their script and we won't go along just to get along, because that's not the cloth that we cut from. And so, you know, I mean, we still, you know, we have caregivers right now in Fresno. That's I mean, I said, well, what is the solution? I mean, is the solution to just stay in the house, close the door, and everybody's going to be okay? And, you know, I've been asking people, like you talked about, we have to be very creative. You know, the Freedom School kids right now, we would be, if the coronavirus wasn't here, we would be out at the forum farming, right? And so when you talked about how do we be creative today and how do we be able to still protest but yet still be within the guidelines of not breaking the law, I said, well, hey, since the children can't go out to the farm, then I'm going to take my front yard and turn it into to a community garden, my front and backyard. So that's what we talk about, the audience, being creative, you know. I mean, so we bring one or two of our students over here once a week, being very intentional on what they're going to do, where they're going to work at, have on their gloves, have on their masks, and so they can still be a part of the Freedom School and still, I mean, because our children right now, some of them want to be in school. They can't be in school, right, because the school's closed down. So a lot of them are just at home looking at four walls. So I said, well, look, how about the Freedom School? I think it was Maria's idea that we get some flower pots, some plants, and we get a little shovel, and we get some soil with a plant, and we can still, you know, take these over to the Freedom School students. That's what we call thinking outside the box. Things can still grow. And it just hurts me to hear that the pushback that you're getting with organizers in Fresno, because we have put a lot of time in organizing Fresno, going up against the power structure, and to get pushback at a time where we need people out on the front line, right? I mean, you just don't have all of these states, you know, Colorado and Houston and Phoenix and Oregon and El Paso and the Bay Area and San Bernardino and Sacramento following Fresno lead. You see what I'm saying? So I tip my hat to you, Brother Ralphie, because you're the one that's really pushing this. You're the engine pushing this right now, because now we have all these other states looking at the work that you're doing and with the mobilizing that you're doing, you know, here in Fresno. And I mean, that's just phenomenal growth that you would just, you know, continue to keep pushing, keep plowing. You may not plow fast, but you keep plowing. And I think that's the good part. We have a caller, 3205. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. Just like to welcome you to the show this evening. 3205 going once, 3205 going twice, 3205. All right, maybe you're just listening right now. Okay, we'll get back to that call a little bit later. So I just thought what Mary Lee Brand did, and this is why, you know, it's important that our black and brown community get more politically savvy and understand about, you know, why it's important to vote, why it's important to you know, to fill out the census. Because all those things are important, because when something goes down, right, we have people that we can go to inside City Hall and say, hey, you know, this is what we think. What do you think about that right now?
You know, that first of all, that document you talked about, I saw it, and you're correct. And that was so obvious that what they were doing. And not including people, not including, obviously, you're right, they won't come to leaders like us because we won't read their script. We won't be a puppet to them either. And for them not to come to us based on that reason should say something. But the fact that there were no African-Americans on there, and then some of the people who are supposedly representatives of our community, a lot of us shaking our heads saying, where they been, you know, who is this, you know. And that happens a lot more than we know, where these political leaders have their Rolodex in the old school way of saying it, or they have their, you know, they have certain names in their pockets they can pull out. And that's no disrespect to people on the list, but it does say something about that mayor. And Fresno's one of the worst places. You call it Mississippi, Fresno, and you're right. Fresno's one of those last places in California that has the right-wing conservative and very racist right-wing control on the government. And so, as to your point about voting, that I'll tell you right now, in 20 years of teaching high school, I noticed something, and one of the hardest things to teach students is the importance of voting, of registering to vote. And, you know, and they've been taught for many years that your vote doesn't matter. And so they say, why vote if it doesn't matter? It's not going to change anything. And my point to them is, because I used to think the same thing when I was their age, but the problem is, and by the way, they have good reason to think that, because remember, George W. Bush lost the popular vote, still became president. Donald Trump lost the popular vote, but still became president. So that's called the Electoral College. It's a complicated system based on slavery of the 1800s. It's very intricate, and I'm not going to go into it. But that's why when the students see something like that, and young people, they think, why vote? And my point to them is not that you should – yes, the president – when you cast a vote, your vote isn't necessarily going to elect that person, but you can still cast a vote for laws, for legislation, for ordinances, for campaigns that are launched against us or in favor of the people. We can still, in the meantime, bring about that change. It may be slow, it may be increments of change, but it's change. And some people, I was at a meeting one time, said something about black leaders. You know, they had the nerve to say this, and it was, believe it or not, it was a professor at college, and their response was, civil rights movement ever do for us, ever do? And a lot of us just stood there like, what? And we had to call this brother out, because that was such an ignorant statement. And we had to point out how, well, one, they brought about things like the civil rights legislation of the 1960s with Dr. King, where we could not be discriminated against because we wanted to rent someplace or buy something. They brought about the Brown versus Board of Education, you know, those kind of changes where we could sit in class with people of different races. It brought about, and it eventually brought about the end to redlining, which, although it's still around there and, you know, it's hidden there, it brought out, it exposed it. So to say that activism and political and voting politics at a local level, especially, to say that it doesn't change anything is so wrong. It's so wrong, because there was a law called Three Strikes, and I remember Three Strikes passed, and everybody was shocked, because I remember I was a speaker at a DVI up north. It was Tracy, the prison up there. The prisoners asked me to come speak, and that was after Three Strikes, and that place was packed with black and brown folks and men. And when I spoke, they listened, because they knew they were in there for three strikes. Eventually, we got rid of that law. But a lot of us learned the hard way that if we don't vote, you get people like Donald Trump. You get legislation that cuts us out of the loop. You get cutting funding to schools, cutting funding to mothers and men who are raising kids who need to feed those kids. You get cut to funding to help the homeless or help people who pay the rent. You get cut, and you get cut out of the loop if you don't vote, because they know that. And Donald Trump knows this. He knows this. That's why he's not embarrassed to be a racist. He's a racist. But as long as he has 30 there are 35% of the people who vote for him, that solid 30% out of 100% of the voters, he knows he's got it. He can still be president, and all these other people in his legislation and all the people that other laws they want to pass are going to get passed because we're sitting, like you said, on the sidelines. If we're sitting on the sidelines and we're not doing anything, then what are we doing? You know, why? That's not called living. I'd rather rebel, at least rebel. And that's what we're doing, obviously. But I would tell people, think about the vote at a local level. You can make change. You can make change. You can make a difference, even if it's incremental, even if it's a local level where you have a racist police department that's stopping people. You can put a stop to that. We did here in Fresno for a while, right? It's not totally 100%, but we put a stop to that. You could bring about good things like food, more programs to feed the those who need it, or better schools, better training, better jobs. You can bring about change, but we have to get rid of this myth that vote does not change anything or does not do anything, and it's all the same. That's a myth. I used to believe the same thing my younger days. And by the way, congratulations, you're going to be 50. I'll be 52. You got another 50 years to live, Brother Harris. You got another 50 years to make some change, Dr. Harris. So live it up, make the best of it. That's what I ask I ask myself the same question. And that's what I've been doing, is trying to be involved at a national level and share my talents. And I say that because I don't know if your listeners know, but I have a law degree. I have a master's degree. And a lot of people wonder, what are you doing out there doing all this crazy rebel rousing and hanging out with all these people, you know? Well, that's the people. I could go to Wall Street, I guess, and make millions of dollars. But is that living? Is that truly living? And I would say no. I think that would be selfish of us if just to, quote unquote, get educated and then forget about where we came from. Because I've been poor, really poor. So it hurts me to see people struggle. It hurts me to see mothers struggle out there getting kicked out because they can't pay the rent. It hurts me to see people have to wait in line for food. It hurts me to see people can't get into the doctors because we have the most worst, horrible medical system in the world. For being the richest country in the world, there's no excuse for that. And if you had a sick parent or a sick, you know, relative, and you watch them, you know, struggle, or you watch them suffer, that hurts. So I invest my talents with the people and people like you, because I know that if I'm gone next year or 50 years from now, at least, you know, I live life doing the right thing, you know, something I think we all should be investing more into, and that's the good causes, you know, for the people. And can't take stuff with us. You're not going to take your car with you. You're not going to take gold or whatever you have, your money. You're not going to take it with you. So leave a legacy for the kids, you know, let them learn from that.
Exactly. We're here with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show. We're talking about the direct action that will be happening this Friday at the downtown Fresno. I will be there. The address is 1200 M Street, Fresno, California, 93722. If you know where the Fresno County Jail is located, we're being very creative. Demonstration caravan in support of all workers, and we mean all workers. And, you know, we have those working in the fields. We have those who are care providers. And it's just, you know, one of the questions, maybe I can ask you, you're a teacher. What is united about the United States of America? Because when I think of something being united, I'm thinking everybody is on the same page. But
yeah,
in America, the United States of America, the terminology, the name of it, is really a false pretense, false conversation, because every state is on an individual platform to make decisions for their state. So just like California, let's use California for time right now. We have the governor. Then from the governor, we have the board of supervisors. From the board of supervisors, then we have the council. So every city in California has that same structure. Sacramento, you know, Sacramento supervisors and the city council, whatever, whatever. But then you have every city, as you said earlier, in L.A., you know, their restrictions is not like Fresno. Fresno, you can't have no more than two. L.A., oh, you can have 10. Or upside. I mean, what's united about United States? It really bothers me to keep saying United States when there's nothing united and it's all segregated because everybody's, you got Texas now saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to open up everything. Then you have Georgia saying, well, you know, we're going to open up some businesses, but not all businesses. Then you have Fresno saying, well, you know, we're going to put a committee together, you know, and then they pick whoever. I mean, it's like, and then you have San Francisco, which I think was one of the first cities, if I'm not mistaken, was the one who really, you know, started mobilizing and trying to, you know, do for their people in their community. I mean, what's united about United States?
You hit it right. It's different states that independently they would be countries. And as a history teacher, I would be lying to you if I said that America was this beautiful place that came together. No, it was built on slavery. It was built on genocide of Native Americans, theft of land belonging to other people or people already inhabited. But it was expanded upon by these individual states, like you said. And when they came together, this is what we call federalism, where you have a national or federal level government, and then you have the states' rights. And that's, now think about that word, states' rights. The states said, well, we want to maintain the right to do this. That's why they had a big debate over what the slave-owning states and those that didn't have slaves. And for years, they didn't even touch the question. They just ignored it so they wouldn't go to, you know, a bicker with each other. But basically, they're like different countries that came together to form the United States of America. But you're right, there's all these states and jurisdictions doing different things. And this is why I want you to go to Cuba. If you go to Cuba, a country like Cuba, it's not a United States of America. It's one country. And over there, the law is the law. And their rules are the rules. And there's no confusion. And I loved that when I was there. As a matter of fact, over there, police officers don't even carry guns. That's not what police officers do over there. Over there, they help you cross the street. Over there, they block traffic in case, you know, something's happening. But they don't shoot at you. They don't chase after you. In America, the sheriff's badge, from any sheriff in America, a sheriff badge is the original symbol for the slave, runaway slave patrol. That is a fact. And when you research that, you know, it should make sense. America is all these giant countries that came together as the United States of America. But it's not united, you're right. And there's all this segregation. It's never really gone away. And there's all these different laws. And so it is confusing to a lot of people when you hear that, and that you could travel from one state to another easily and then the laws change. It's called federalism, too, because if the federal government wants something to be, they can make it happen. Now, states will say, we got the 10th, and therefore we can, you know, do everything from they want to own slaves to get married to, you know, whoever they wanted to. You know, different ages from drinking to smoking to marriage to even slavery. And they've had to iron those wrinkles out eventually over 250 years. But the fact that we are divided like that, there's nothing united about us. And never has been. Never has been.
And I just go ahead.
Well, I was going to say May 1st is important, too, because we bring people together. We're standing in solidarity with all workers. We don't care the race. We don't care the religion. We don't care their gender. We're saying respect all workers, honor all workers, because they're the ones that make this world run, and it, literally the world, and especially America. And so one of the things we're also asking people to get creative with is if they can't caravan on that day, or if they're in a state where they're working during that day, post a picture and put your fist up in the air and say, you know, hey, so-and-so from Colorado or so-and-so from New York, you know, I support May 1st. Do that and make it go virtual. That's part of what we're trying to do, too, is make sure that this gets done on this day that many of us Some people would prefer we stay silent on this day, especially with all the inequities we see and the way they treat people of color in the front line and how they've been disregarded all this time. And all of a sudden we realize just how important and essential they are, right? The poorest of the poor. So we're asking people to get creative. Post a picture if you can't be out there protesting or marching or whatever you want to do. Post the picture. Simply post a picture and make it go viral.
We're here at 516-387-1474. We're here. Direct action this Friday from 12 to 1 at the Fresno County Jail, 1200 M Street, Fresno, California, 93722. I am here with my friend in crime. We have done a lot together, man. It's like, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, for the show, I was like, man, we have actually done a lot. I mean, you know, we were the ones who brought Cop Watch to Fresno, right? And
yeah,
and
that's right.
When we brought, and that was, man, over 20-some years ago. And
yep.
It's like, you know, we because of that training that we did here at the Hinton Center, I'll never forget it. We had a standing room only. We brought Sister Andrea and her staff from Oakland here.
Right.
Give us the training. You remember that? The training and all, me, you, my, and Gloria, you know, I mean, we led that charge. And because of that training that we did, we were able to educate the community. And that's when Swearington was in office. And the police union would not support the police auditor because the police union always buy the city council off. And so the city council always, you know, listened to them. But when that police officer, I believe it was two of them, on Bullard and Blackstone, right there by the Arco, had a homeless man on the ground, hitting him close fist. And somebody, I don't know if they were on a bus, walk in the car, started videotaping. That's where we got the cart moving a little bit in the right direction to get an independent police auditor. Not to really talk about that the auditor had some teeth in it, but it started the process of saying why we needed it. And then, so, I mean, there's a lot of mobilizing and organizing that we have done together along with the community and building coalitions. I mean, there's just so many names. I can't even name them all right now. But like I said, we're gearing up. I will be on Ground Zero Friday at 12 o'clock. We will be going live with Blog Talk Radio. We will be live streaming as well there in case anything pop off. But we're just trying to really penetrate the hearts of our people to let them understand, yes, we have to be responsible, you know, for this virus. Yes, we get that. But we cannot stop the activism work about what's really going on, because change only comes by pressure. Someone told me earlier, I forget who that was, they said, you know, you have to keep putting pressure on something to get change. And that's what we have done in Fresno. Everything I've done, everything you have done, the change came behind pressure. And we just have to, let me just go to this, see this caller is still on here. 3205, welcome to Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. You have anything you'd like to say this evening? Going once, twice, three times. All right. Okay, well, brother, anything else you want to tell us before we end our show? This evening has been a great show. It's been very educational for me and for the listening audience. And like I said, we're just gearing up for Friday.
Yeah, just, you know, honor those workers. They're out there in the front lines. You know, I know people are watching this happen every day where people are dying and the numbers are going up. And you know, in California, here we're sitting, not getting the worst of it like New York did, for example. But definitely, you know, honor a worker, honor somebody who maybe a gardener, maybe somebody washing dishes at a restaurant, or somebody, you know, that picks up your garbage. These are people that do the hardest work, but make it possible for us to have this standard of living. But let's honor them on May 1st, if anything. And then also, Let's all stand in solidarity, just like you and I have, Dr. Floyd Harris, because you know we've gone through some battles with this system here in Fresno, and we've gone through some battles nationally too, you know, and I think it's a never-ending battle. It's a never-ending fight, but let's not lose the faith, because I think, and the confidence in each other, because that's what they want us to do. So when I see you out there, whether you're running for mayor or whether you're calling out the police department or you're leading a march in the community that where you're not even, you know, expected to be, but you're there, to me, that's what I call leadership. And we need, people are inspired by that. And so let's keep doing that, those of us who can. And those of us who can't, you know, let's do what we can, but let's stand on the right side of justice, because when the history books are written, I want to be on the side that said, yeah, I stood, you know, on the right side of justice. Maybe well, hard right now, but.
I hear you. Listen, Brother Tony, I'm going to try to click. I've been trying to click you in here at 3205. Are you there, 3205? 3205, are you there? 3205. Okay, let me try 7285. 7285, you there?
Yes, that's me.
Okay, I hear somebody. Let me see. Okay, who is that? Yeah.
Hi, well, this is your David Paredes.
Hey,
what's
can you
going
hear,
on?
Can you hear me, Pastor?
Yeah,
I hear
Tony
wanted to go first, so he can go ahead. Can you hear me? Yes, sir. We hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, Brother Tony. I hear
hello,
you.
Hello,
hello. Brother Tony. Something must be
we can hear you, Tony.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I think we'll be trolled, Dr. Harris.
Let me send him a message. Let me just tell him. Brother Tony, just start talking. You're sending him a message.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go
hello.
Ahead.
Hello.
Let me see if I can send him a message.
Hello. Okay, there we go.
All
hey,
right. You-
tonight's show was definitely.
All right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, look, tonight's show was definitely on point. Tonight's show was definitely on point. Brother Raphael really brought it. And I wish to God we could get more and more men out here like this, black, brown, and pink and purple. We need more people, like you say, on the front lines, and we need more people who are willing to do like we did in the old days, get out there and speak up and speak out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I mean, that's why the Black Panther Party, you know, I believe they that was their philosophy. You know, I mean, most people think, uneducated people think that the Black Panther Party was a bunch of thugs and hoodlums. But the really thugs and hoodlums was the Oakland PD and the government at that time.
That's right.
And still today, the thugs and hoodlums, those who push it by policy. So I think that, like you said, I think that things has been done in this country. I just think that we need to start educating ourselves, understanding the sacrifice they did, and apply it to what's going on today, you know? And so I think that's why has pushed this movement May 1st. And, I mean, we have Fresno, we have Houston. Now, understand something. I want to make sure everybody understands what I'm about to say. When we say Fresno, Fresno is the leading city that Houston, Phoenix, Oregon, Colorado, El Paso, Sonoma County, Sacramento, San Bernardino County, and the Bay Area, they are following our lead here in Fresno. So understand the city that you're in, that you have all these other states following the lead of Fresno under the leadership of Brother Ralphie and the coalition that he has built and supported. So that's huge within itself. I mean, people in Fresno really don't understand and appreciate the organizers that we have. We have the best organizers in the whole state of California, if not the whole country, because we know how to mobilize within. If something happens at 10 o'clock tonight, I promise you by 11, we'll mobilize the whole community to be there. That's how good we are. That's how God has made us, the Creator has made us to know how to do what we do. So understand that this is not no lightweight stuff we're doing Friday. We have other states that's following our lead, Brother Tony. 7285, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. Talk to us, Brother David.
Hey, how's it going, Rev? Can you hear me all right? All good?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Cool. Sounds good. So I just wanted to hop on and just really quickly thank you and Brother Ralphie for all the organizing you've done throughout the years here in Fresno. I'm pretty young, and I've learned a lot from the both of you. So I look up to the both of you. And, I see you guys as mentors, and I'm looking forward to continuing the fight for years to come, because there's a lot to fight for, a lot of injustices here in our city. And so just wanted to really quickly thank the both of you for all the work you've done throughout the years before my time. And I also wanted to just talk a little bit about May Day, May 1st. So I'm a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, and this day is actually pretty important. Our system here in the United States, they really try to alienate us from our rights as workers, as working class individuals. There are only two classes that really exist here in this world, the proletariat, the workers themselves, and then you have the capitalists, the owners of the means of production. So this is a very important day for us to recognize our history, be in solidarity with the people who have fought for our rights as workers. You know, it started in Haymarket riots in Chicago. They fought for an eight-hour workday. Later on, they fought for it, and it wasn't achieved right away, but they set the precedent to our fights that we can have legally as workers, and eventually we got 40-hour workdays. So I just wanted us to realize that this day, May 1st, this Friday, 1st of May, super important day to be in solidarity with workers from the past, workers now, and workers in the future, and also recognizing that immigrants and our immigrant workers have been at the forefront, have been at the front lines of these struggles. If we look back to the Haymarket riots, those people who originally striked and came together, they got their ideas from in Germany. These socialist ideas that we are being oppressed by those people who own the land, and they can do whatever they want. You know, money is power. So immigrants back then have brought over these ideas to fight for our rights, and even now immigrants are becoming the most oppressed and have facing so much with our current administration. So I also wanted to plug in that May 1st, there's going to be a general strike. So while we're either attending this May strike that Ralphie is helping organize, or we're posting something online, well, another thing we must do or must not do is shop Amazon, Whole Foods, Target, Instacart. Those are the four main businesses we must strike. We cannot give them our money to be in order to stand in solidarity with these workers. They're fighting. We should not cross the picket line. We need to be virtually at the picket line. So again, we're striking Amazon, Whole Foods, Target, and Instacart. So please, please, please support these essential workers. They're going through a lot. They're putting their lives at risk. They're putting their families at risk. And do not give any of these companies your money on this day. Either go somewhere else or don't shop at all that day. Attend this virtual strike. That's all I got to say about that. So again, do not shop at Amazon, Whole Foods, Target, or use Instacart, please.
Well, thank you so much, Brother David. We will support that. And I just want to thank you also publicly for your support and leadership in the everything that we do, because you're always there, but especially the mayor race. I haven't sent out an official thank you to everyone, but I will be doing that real soon. We were the last to file, and we were the we came in third place. There was a lot of things going on. I was sick. I had to take my son back to college, but we still came in third. We got a great campaign team. Brother Ralphie was supportive of that. We thank him too. A lot of opposition, but that's okay. But I think we all learned something about how we can come together in such a short span context. But then, you know, if we're really organized and we really have some finances, grassroots, things like that, we can really accomplish. So, like I said, well, I'm just here to share my knowledge with all of you, the next generation, with the baton. When that time comes, to make sure that you all are equipped with the things that you need to be equipped to fight this system and change the system. And I just want to thank you for your leadership. And Brother Ralph, we're going to give you the last words here. We just want to say again that Fresno is the leading city in the nation for as this May 1st. We have Houston, Phoenix, Oregon, Colorado, El Paso, Sonoma County, Sacramento, San Bernardino County, and our good friends in the Bay Area. We invite you, everyone, to a virtual demonstration in support of all workers at a time of crisis. And so that's where we're at. I will be there this Friday. We will be going live, Blog Talk Radio, as well as live streaming as well. As well as maybe a podcast as well too. So we'll end it there, Brother Ralphie. Any last words, or send us off with our marching orders?
Yeah, well, you know, I want to thank your audience, because you have an awesome audience. I think the audience is always representative of the host, and so you have an awesome audience there. Thank you, David. And by the way, I just got a note. I got notified from somebody in Malaysia. I don't know if people know where Malaysia is. Like across the street from China. They're listening to us right now live.
All right.
Yeah, and they say it's superb. They're giving us props for our discussion, and I think, you know, they know out there what it's about to respect the workers, the simple life. So, you know, I take their word. I think that they're tuning in and giving props to this kind of discussion. Says something about you know, the people and what the people have to offer. So, you know, with that said, just try to do something to honor workers on May 1st, whether it be a caravan, whether it be being out there, or simply posting something online on social media in support of workers all over the world.
Right. And send a message to them, Brother Rafi, for me, that we would like to maybe create a show with them as well. If you wouldn't mind, because I mean that'd be huge to make that connection, connect those dots from here to over there. My phone number is 559-790-4277, 559-790-4277. We have a lot of people right now listening to the live stream. We're at the end of our show, but we're looking forward to this Friday at 12 o'clock. As we talked earlier, we have to think outside the box how we want to keep organizing, not stop organizing, but be creative how we organize now with all the rules and regs that are in place. It's not our intention to put in anybody in harm's way, but our intention is to fight injustice, and we will continue to do that. We ask those of you that will make signs, caravan, put it on your car. We'll be out on the street corners. We ask those not to get out of your cars because of the ordinance that we have here in Fresno when it comes to social distance. Brother Ralph, there's something I want to mention to you before I go. We talked about the social distance conversation, which means that if there's more than two people, law enforcement has the right to go in and possibly ask you to leave or give you a ticket. One of the things that I noticed in West Fresno is that we have a little park over here called Old Man's Park, where a lot of the African-American people, where we had our kickoff for the mayor. And I noticed now, the other day, I did see the police get out and, you know, ask people to leave, et cetera. But now I'm noticing there's more and more African-American people that's over there. And then the police just sits across the street, typically looking over there, but not like the first time physically getting out, asking people to disperse. Do you think that's done intentionally this government is doing that intentionally so that if someone does have the virus or something, that it will spread more, possibly wipe out, genocide our community, versus the police department doing what they're asked to do if you see people and, you know, more than, our, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 people together to make them disperse. Do you think that's done intentionally by Fresno PD to let African-American people possibly contaminate each other?
I've heard of this, and actually not just in the black community, but in other communities where they said initially, yeah, they came in, like the SWAT team, and now they just sit back and let people congregate. And I would not put it past, one, the federal government, because, you know, they played with lives, with the Tuskegee experiments and Native American women, where they, you know, or Chicano women, where they sterilize them. And they've done some sick stuff to basically prevent or to cause things to happen. But for Fresno PD, I could not put it past them. They are so corrupt and have been for years. And I wouldn't put it past them if that's what's going through police officers' mind. And not just Fresno, but several police departments. But I've heard about that not just in Fresno, but in other cities as well.
Okay, so it's something that's happening not just in Fresno, but across the board. Yeah, it's really an issue right now that you know, that I can see possibly a genocide, potential genocide, you know.
That's the argument in prisons and jail right now by the inmates. That is their main argument, that they're the petri dish just sitting there breeding coronavirus, and a lot of these guards and people, they get to go home. But as far as like anything that they, as far as taking precautions, they're not doing that. In Ohio, I think, no, Illinois and Ohio is one of the prisons where, those two places where they got, you know, some prisoners that are just getting ready to blow up because they're saying, these prisoners are saying, we're going to die. We're going to die.
Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Okay, we're at the end of our show, and we'll see everybody Friday at 12 o'clock sharp down at the Fresno County Jail. Please don't get out your car. Just drive around with your side hump, whatever you can do to support, and we'll be dealing with the media and mobilizing the country. All right, now, we just want to thank you again, Brother Ralphie, man. Stay on the front line. We love you. And we will see you this Friday.
Thank you, Dr. Floyd Harris.
All right. This is Dr. Harris. Black Lives Matter show. Man, it was hot tonight. A virtual demonstration and caravan in support of all workers. All right. Power to the people.
Power to the people.